Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? Here we are. We are on the Trainwreck Radio Show. We're ready to rock and roll here. I hope we're going out. It seemed that there was some tech problems. I got a message from Blog Talk Radio, so I don't know if we're going live or not. We got a show tonight. We got some folks that are down at a Pasco County School Board meeting, and they are fighting the dress code situation. And I'm going to play a couple of commercials here real fast. I got to talk to one of our guests and get this ball rolling. So check this out. Be back in 3 minutes, 33 seconds. Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker. And you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Shots fired.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called LESMA. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
I'm bleeding now. There's no time, no time.
Stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty. Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There you have it, folks. Here we are. It's the Trainwreck Radio Show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. It was a special edition this week on Tuesday. And we had some parents who were concerned about this crazy dress code that was taking place in a Pasco County, Florida school that was violating the First Amendment rights of the student. We do have some folks down at the board meeting right now, but due to certain circumstances, I wasn't able to get down to the board meeting, and nobody seems to have an operational phone there at the board meeting. So, hopefully during this next hour, we can get us an update from the board meeting from one of the parents that are down there. On the line tonight, we're going to have one of the students who's been having some difficulties down there, and he's going to be one of these awesome hosts of the Constitutional Millennials, The Next Generation Speaks, live here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, coming up in a week or two. His name is Patrick. He's going to be joining us tonight. And, of course, Char, our awesome co-host and my constitutional go-to person. What's up, Char?
Oh, not too much. Still kind of recovering from our rally this weekend, but that's all right. It was a great rally.
I saw your speech. Good speech. Good stuff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You know what's funny is I clicked and I'm watching and I'm like, because we never met, you know, and I've only seen a couple of pictures here and there. And I'm like, man, that lady, man, that sounds a lot like Char, you know, as I'm watching it. And then I'm like, that is.
That's funny.
Then, you know, you said a few things that I was like, damn, that is her. So
yes.
I'm watching it at first. I'm going, man, that's great speech, man.
It's funny. Good that stuff. Was a last minute invitation too. I mean, I literally, and I do mean literally last minute, I was not invited to speak in advance, and I get there and one of the co-hosts of the event comes up to me and says, if I had 10 or 15 minutes to fill, could you do it? And I was like, guess so.
You know, We're good at winging it. That's why we're the Train Wreck Radio Show. That's why it's so easy to get up there and fill 15 minutes, you know?
Exactly. And I don't know how long the speech was. I just got up there and spoke. So luckily I went before before Shalise and Jeanette Finnicum. Thank goodness I went before those two ladies. There's no way I could have followed them.
Yeah, I think they're going to be on one of our counterpart shows here real soon, I think. I think I saw Shalise is going on a show. Anyhow, I'm going to bring in folks. Our friend that's on the line here is one of the kids we met through this protest and this situation that unfolded. And a very intelligent, wise young man who understands his natural rights are not to be fooled with, and his name is Patrick. Going to be the host of Constitutional Millennials, The Next Generation Speaks, live on Patriot Nation Radio Network. What's up, Patrick?
Thank you, Mark. And honestly, right now I'm a bit ticked off. You know, school-wise.
I mean,
it's been really crazy.
And now you were talking and telling us a little earlier that you got, I guess, a referral today in reference to this bogus dress code. What's happening there in the Liquid High School? Two of them.
Yeah, two in one day.
What was the violating attire?
I have it right here with me, actually.
It's radio. We can't see it.
I know. I'm looking at it right now. And by the way, this is not true. I asked the administrator this question right before I was taken out of class the other day. Define disobeying or disrespecting school personnel. That is not true, for one. I asked for the other day when I was being pulled out of class by one of the administrators. I believe it was last week, either yesterday or last week. I asked the administrator a question, and he said yes. He responded to my question with yes, you may do that. And then come to me in room 111, which I did that, and which I did what I was doing. I went to room 111, talked to him. We talked about, you know, if I ever needed anything, I can come talk to him, yada, yada, basically all that crap. And then, now this week, I get the referral a few days later, and this weekend, this Saturday, I'm getting Saturday school, which I'm not very happy with.
Right. This dress code thing is kind of ridiculous. I don't know, man. To me, dress codes are a sham. They're a sham. They're just a way to try to control people and prepare them for becoming sheep and doing what they're told and just following blindly. But anyway, we're going to chit-chat a little bit more. A lot of folks like to listen to this show, and they may not have heard this. And I played it for the first time on Veterans Day when I had my friend Dave Bray call in. And his wife sent this over for me just to play on the Veterans Day special. And this is it's a 3-minute and 25-second perfect pop song, rock song, Thinking About Drinking, by the most patriotic American rocker in the USA, Dave Bray. Let's just check this out real fast. 3 minutes, 25 seconds. We'll be back. Check it out.
Like the end of a work day to get you fired up about the night. You can catch a cool buzz with the one you love and play the field till you get it right. It'll only take a few libations to loosen up and feel the flow. So let's drink and let's dance and let's find some romance. It's time to just let go. Tell me what you want to do. Do you want to do? Do you want to do? You got me thinking about drinking. Whiskey and rum, and the band's about to rock. They got 25 taps of ice cold beer and every single kind of shot. We're gonna get this party started, drinking till the morning light. Put the chicks and the dudes with the beer and the booze, throwing it down tonight. Tell me what you wanna do, do you wanna do, do you wanna do? You got me thinking about drinking.
The folks thinking about drinking, Dave Bray, back in a big way, making music, doing good stuff. Of course, we love the music of the most American patriotic rocker. All right, so here we are, folks, at the Train Wreck Radio Show. And it's a train wreck as usual.
Yes, it is. Always has been, always will.
And that's what makes it fun, you know what I mean? It's always interesting here because you never know what's going to happen on this show. Sometimes it's funny how it started out. It started out as Constitution 101, and there was just so much different news stuff happening that we could just never get back to finishing the Constitution. We never made it to Article 4. But right now there's a little bit of stuff going on with Article 2 and the Electoral College, that there's some rumors sort of floating around. And I think they're all rumors. I think after watching the election and all the smoke that was been blown up our proverbial butts from both sides, the right and the left, that this is one of those baloney stories. These are one of those baloney stories that they're going to use the Electoral College and they're going to make them, you know, pick somebody else, blah, 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 blah. So what do you think about that, Shar? You think that they can use Article 2 and the 12th Amendment and the little bits and pieces of the 20th Amendment to steal this election from Trump, or that's bull crap? I think it's baloney.
Well, I don't know. It really does depend upon the individual electors. Because technically speaking, when you read Article 1, Section 2, Clauses 2 and 3, and how the electors are appointed and what they're supposed to do, and you look at Amendment 12, neither of them say anything about the choices of the popular vote. It all mentions the voting laws of the individual states. So unless there's something in each of the individual states regarding how the popular vote is to be taken into account regarding those electors, it's going to be difficult to say how those electors have to behave. Now, I have seen various things floating about with specific fines on the electors if they don't follow the rules, whatever those rules may be, and I have yet to dig into them because I find those rules to be pedantic and unconstitutional. But then again, the Constitution is so open there because it does say the laws of the states. But there's, I believe it's the organization change.org that has pledged to pay those fines for any of the electors who go against the rules. And in this day and age, $1,000 fine is almost nothing. I'm sure that the appointed electors are men and women of means, not people like myself who could ill afford to pay such a fine. So it is possible that the electors could go against the popular vote or even choose candidates that weren't of the four candidates for president. Because we have to remember there were two others. There was the Green Party and the Libertarian Party.
The Veteran Party also had a candidate. The Veteran Party also put a candidate and the Constitution Party. So there was actually six candidates that were in the race.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think it's Evan McMullen, somebody McMullen that took a handful of votes in Utah and a couple other of the Western states. But be that as it may, it's still one of those things where I think that they would have to, and even based on that one video that you shared in our chat group for the network, that they're really looking at just trying to get a different Republican candidate in there rather than Mr. Trump. And I don't know that they can do that, but perhaps they can, because all the wording says that they are the ones who make the choices for president and vice president, and they are the ones who then, you know, cast their ballots, and the ballots are sent to Congress, and the Senate counts them. And if there is no clear winner, then the House makes a decision from there if there's in the case of a tie.
Right. So who knows? I don't think it's going to happen. Just like some of the things I said Trump wouldn't do and Trump couldn't do, he's backpedaling already, just as I knew. One of the ones that really is going to piss off a lot of people is his fib about hiring a special prosecutor for the Hillary Clinton investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one, guys, we need to remember that he's still president-elect. We still have to wait until the Electoral College meets December 19th, and then we need to wait until January 6th when the votes of or the selection voting, whatever, from the results from the Electoral College are announced publicly, in January 6th. So he hasn't been sworn in yet. So Mr. Trump is not a politician, but he is a businessman. And as a successful businessman, despite the handful of bankruptcies he's had, and anyone who understands the process of success understands that you've got to have failures in order to achieve and understand the sweetness of success. He is intelligent enough to know that he's got to keep his aces and kings close to his vest. So for him to say what he did on the 60 Minutes interview, while many of us are taking issue with him referring to the Clintons as good people, I believe that him deferring to any future interviews with regard to assigning a special prosecutor is simply an intelligent move at this point, because he really understands that there's still 60 plus or minus 60 days for President Obama to sit in office. And while constitutionally speaking, he can't pardon anyone of any federal crime until such time as there's been a conviction, we know that Ford pardoned Nixon before Nixon was ever impeached. Mind you, impeachment is not a crime that one can be pardoned of, but before any other crimes and convictions were brought against Nixon, Ford pardoned him. And so we know that presidents have broken that, or, you know, gone around the Constitution in order to impeach their friends and their enemies. So we need to be really careful. And I believe that Mr. Trump is no fool with this regard. So by at least pretending, and then we can hope that he's at least pretending to back off a little bit on this until such time as he's actually in office and Mr. Obama and his administration are out of office, then he is leaving it open at that point when the old regime is out and the new regime is in, and then he can make, better headway into that. And, you know, we have to understand that there may very well be other agencies that are still doing investigation, and that there's also the potential, we need to remember that the Clinton Foundation is still under investigation by the IRS. So if nothing happens with regard to the numerous crimes that she committed with the email server, there's always hope that the Clinton Foundation may land her behind into some hot water.
Well, we'll have to see. I keep hearing this pedo ring that he's getting involved in as well, that they're getting involved in. Who knows how true that is? I do know I had a former guest on the show, and her name is Fiona. She's from Australia. I did see a story out of Australia today that is getting ready to blow up in Australia, and these rings are all connected together through the Bohemian Grove. So I really think that there's serious potential here. And of course, there was a picture leaked today or yesterday of Bill Clinton in a hotel room with some blonde lady, and he's in the bunk sitting on the edge of the bed, and there's no mistaking, that's not a Photoshop picture, that's the real deal, I think.
Right. Yeah, I saw that photo as well, and I was like, oh boy, what a way to put me off my feed for the rest of my life. But
you know what? But still, you know what I think? That picture really is nothing. That looks like a woman of consensual age, and that's between his wife, him, and that woman. So really, that picture to me has no bearing on my thoughts. You know what I mean? That really
Is just that's what I thought, too, when I saw it.
His wife should be mad. You know, who else? I don't give a crap. You know, that's between them.
Yeah.
They can't keep their wildlife in order. That's up to them. That's up to them, you know. I have no. I don't really particularly like seeing pictures of naked Bill Clinton. It's kind of really, off-turning.
Right. That was what put me off about it, was I didn't want to see him nude, but you know, my first question when I saw it was, what's this? I mean, I knew who it was, but I was like, what is this? So what if he's getting a massage by a grown person while he's sitting there in the nude holding, you know, sitting there upright in the nude holding a remote in his hand? There's no telling what he's watching, and I could care. I really could not care any less. It would be completely different if the female in question, for, you know, giving him the massage, and it's on his back. So it's not as if it's anything that right. a regular massage therapist wouldn't provide. It would be completely different if it were one of those questionable type massages, or if it were someone that was obviously underage. And so that right there, but I do know what you're talking about with regard to the underage sexual engagement, the Lolita Express, the Pedophile Island, and things like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on with that are coming out. You know, thank you, WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, for getting that stuff out there for us. That could potentially blow up for them. I don't know if the FBI has gotten involved in that. If they have, they're definitely keeping it under wraps. But, you know, do we really trust the FBI? I would rather see a large police force such as, you know, the NYPD or the LAPD or, you know, one of the other large and relatively trustworthy police departments do something like that with it, specifically NYPD, since she chooses to reside there most of the time. They would have jurisdiction, and then once they can establish a case, at that point hand it over to the feds, and if the feds do nothing with it, then they have maintained some jurisdiction, they have a case, and they can take it, because I don't believe that New York would just let it go away.
Who knows, though? New York has been overrun by sick, twisted liberals. One of the reasons I left, had to get the heck out of that place. You know, when they were talking about building the Ground Zero Mosque, I had already been left Florida because the attitude of people changed. By 2002, it was like nothing ever happened in downtown Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And so I left. One of the reasons we came to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't believe what happened, but I just lost my train of thought, and so I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. It happens more and more as I get older.
It's that train wreck radio. It's that train wreck radio.
What the heck was I talking about? 9/11. Oh, now I got it. I'm back on track. Here we go. And my friends up in New York weren't protesting. They weren't saying anything about the fact they were going to build a Ground Zero Mosque. And I'm like, what the hell? What is wrong with you people? If I was still up there, I probably would have took pig's blood and threw it on the steps. Something.
Right.
So now in the same building, they scrapped the idea about the Ground Zero Mosque. They're going to put a Islamic museum there.
Mm-hmm.
How convenient. Well, usually when Muslims build a place, you know, a said place like that, they hire Islamic employees. And Islamic employees pray five times a day. So you can guarantee that in that museum, there will be a small mosque. They will have their Ground Zero Mosque. They're going to have it. It's going to be there. Sorry to say it, folks, but Ground Zero is going to have its very own mosque right there in downtown Manhattan, two blocks from Freedom Tower.
I wouldn't be surprised.
God bless America. No, it's happening. It's going to be there. Because I'm telling you, they're not just going to bust out their rugs and do it right there in the museum. They're going to have a room somewhere. It's going to be considered a mosque, a holy room, blessed by Satan or whoever blesses their holy rooms. I don't know. Some imam will come in and do some ceremony or something, and it'll be a mosque. And they're going to have it. And it's because people just, in New York, man, I don't know. They don't protest. They don't make a stink until it's too late. And it's really scary. You know, now they got the SAFE Act. They took away their right to defend themselves, basically, illegally in the middle of the night. They signed a bill into law illegally. They broke the law for sure. when they did that. But nobody held them accountable because New Yorkers were just like, oh, well, whatever. I still have my guns there in the closet. And I bought them before registration. I bought all my guns before registration ever happened. They don't even know I got them, so I ain't saying nothing. I ain't doing nothing. I got my guns. And that's what happened. It's really, really horrifying. But, you know, New York, New York. It's a hell of a town. Oh, there he is. There's my Munchkin. What's up? Hey, Mason, what's going on? Come here, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mason Hoffman, my little man. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Mason.
What are you guys hollering at in there? All right. You want to say hi to the world, Mason? Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Well, hello, Mason. How are you doing, buddy?
Good.
Are you behaving, or are you giving Mom a hard time over homework again?
I am.
Well, that's not cool, buddy. Aunt Char says you do your homework and you don't give Mom a hard time. You hear?
Char, I was the same way.
Say God bless America.
God bless America.
See you later, buddy.
Okay. Take care.
I was the same way, Char.
Yeah, well, bless his heart, he's in what, kindergarten? First grade?
He's in kindergarten. Just give me 1 second. You guys cover me for 1 second. I'm going to mute myself.
Yeah.
Cover me for two minutes.
Yeah. Bless his heart. He's in kindergarten, and they've already got him loaded down with homework. And, you know, as a former teacher, I think that's ridiculous. Yeah, he is adorable, though. He is absolutely precious. And there's no reason for him to be loaded down with all that homework. I don't get it. I just don't get it. We've looked at studies between, I believe it's Norway and the United States, and Norway has a shorter school day. I believe they don't even send homework home. And the scholastic aptitude and academic achievement of Norwegian students when compared to American students is amazingly, just vastly better than that of American students. It just kills me, absolutely kills me why we can't get beyond this ridiculously antiquated methodology that we use in our school system.
I mean, you also have to consider that they're also ahead of us time-wise, and that they have different rules and regulations there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've caught on to adapting the school system to meet the current era. And yet we're still using an educational system that was developed for the factory type industry. And we're miles, miles ahead of that, beyond the factory industry. So many of the factories that we have now are automated. We still have humans involved in a lot of it, but the few factories that we still have in the United States are by and large automated with very little human intervention. So what we had then, exactly. And so what we had then and what we have now in our technological advancement, and yet you look at the classrooms then and the classrooms now, they still look alike.
That's very true.
You know, desks all in a row, one educator at the front of the room pontificating from on high, and the children being required to sit still and be quiet and learn and regurgitate and repeat and memorize. And it's just not working. It simply isn't working because it, in no way, shape, nor form is it preparing our young people for future.
Yep.
That's why we call them public indoctrination centers. Because that's what's happening. When they teach you history, when they teach you history in school, how are they teaching it?
Sorry. I'm going to mute myself then.
No, I was asking you a question.
Oh, go ahead.
I was saying, when they're teaching history in school right now, how are they teaching it? Do they teach about the Boston Tea Party? When they talk about the Boston Tea Party, they call them heroes or they call them terrorists, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. From what I remember, I believe this was ninth grade year we went over, either ninth or tenth grade year. Yeah, we basically talked about the Boston Tea Party, how the people who lived in the 13 colonies, they kind of basically rebelled against Great Britain, as we all know today. So they were, I guess you could say they were kind of known as rebellious people or rebellious. I guess you could say that's the word I'm looking for, but there might be another one that I can't think of.
Yep.
And
I'm
then
sure
it basically continued onward from there.
In today's society, they would be called terrorists for what they did. And what they did was they opened up the eyes of many, many people. And there's so many things like that are happening around our country right now. And I think part of the awakening of America was the murder of Lavoie Finicum and the hard work by his family to go out and speak about injustice and the constitutional violations of the federal government. And people like Shar, who go, you know, on the spur of the moment, spend 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes speaking to people about the constitutionality of things. We're out here. And it's a good thing, man. It is a good feeling to know that we've made some serious progress in the last year or so by people speaking and fighting and writing letters and sending emails and making phone calls and just letting the elected officials know that we're out here and we know the Constitution. I wonder if there's any – I haven't heard really any updates on the court cases on the remaining defendants in the Malia refuge takeover. Has there been any updates, Shar, on that case?
I haven't heard anything about what's going on in Oregon other than they're still trying to decide – and I think they're still taking litigation, you know, motions and so forth with regard to dismissing the remaining cases. But as it stands right now, they're still on track for February 14th for the next seven. now, as far as Nevada is concerned, there were some pending motions for pretrial dismissal that have been, summarily denied because if you remember way back at the beginning, they'd asked to have their cases enjoined or separated, rather. I may be using the wrong legal term there because all of them are being tried as one. And if you've looked at the 70-plus page indictment, the government has put them into tiers of upper level leaders, which are five, mid level leaders, and then followers, if you will.
Right.
Well, just recently, the government decided that they would allow for separating the cases. And they have separated them into those tiers. And the first trial will be I believe it's five upper-level leaders, with Pete Santilli being one of them that they're considering an upper-level leader, even though he's press, and then
right.
the mid-level leaders, and then the remainders, who some of whom were not even mentioned by name in the original indictment until it was superseded after they'd identified them through social media based on photographs, but were just listed as gunmen. But yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. The government is finally deciding to separate the cases out. I think it's because of what happened on October 27th with the not guilty for the conspiracy. We know that Judge Gloria Navarro is not going to hear anything about dropping any of the weapons charges, which is leading them, all of them to, and of course there's numerous more charges in the Nevada case than there are with the Oregon cases. So what we're looking at here is a potential of 94 years in federal penitentiary.
Sorry, folks.
So it's very concerning with what's going on out there, and they've pretty much adopted a saying of 94 or none.
crazy stuff.
Yeah. The defendants
and you know what's
of the
crazy?
Thing.
Well, you know what's crazy about the whole thing with Pete is he was out there broadcasting the truth. And
yes.
It just goes to show you that they don't want the truth.
No.
Because when you do, they throw the book at you and they throw pumped up charges at you.
So basically,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They kill you.
It's crazy. It's crazy what the media is doing, too, because the media is part of the problem in a big way on the left side. They're
right.
Part of the problem because they're not defending a fellow journalist just because he doesn't follow their narrative. So they let him crash and burn as a journalist without even trying to attempt to speak up for him and join him in the crusade for the Constitution. You know,
right.
It's crazy.
Well, additionally, Dennis Michael Lynch has been subpoenaed as a witness for the government. The government has subpoenaed him as a witness. And so, of course, he'll have to go out there. And hopefully he will end up being more of a hostile witness. Because, you know, we know what he revealed when he was out there, and had he not been there and recording, Fox never would have showed up. I mean, they never would have realized what exactly was going on with the helicopters and their low flying and their snipers and their shooting of the cattle during calving season and the mass graves that he reported on, but was not even allowed to get close to with video camera to record. And so forth. But yeah, they were digging trenches to bury the cattle in and all these other horrible, horrific things that were going on. And it just is disgusting what was going on out there at the time. And so hopefully we'll see, of course, the gag order still stands with the evidence. And we have, but we did have the Nevada case. The FBI or the government did admit that they did use an FBI informant team acting as a documentary film crew. Of course, they're saying that it's not that big of a deal. It's something that they do. And that it shouldn't matter one way or the other had they done that, and the use of alcohol with a couple of the defendants should have no bearing on any testimony that they were able to glean from this fake documentary.
Right. Well, you know, we got to just keep praying for these guys that the Lord works in mysterious ways, obviously, and we keep praying for these guys that they can have these cases thrown out. I think the Trump administration is kind of keeping an eye on this situation as well. I don't think they're just sitting in the background. They fully are aware of what happened out in Oregon. I know that. And I believe they sent some folks. I think they sent some folks out there from the campaign to ask questions and talk to some people and get the story. So hopefully he's still monitoring it. Hopefully he's still watching.
Yeah, I've heard anecdotes about that. I don't know for sure. There may have been some conversations that occurred under, promises of silence and anonymity because of it being the campaign and so forth. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I know that the campaign has a transitionary webpage. And they're taking suggestions and questions and so forth via that. And a lot of people have shared that via social media. So people can definitely put on there, please keep your fingers on the pulse of these trials and keep an eye on what's going on, because it really is not justice when innocent people are kept under lock and key in a system that's meant to be innocent until proven guilty. And yet we've got handfuls of people who may be peaceably protesting their under their First Amendment right, who are then infiltrated by busloads and busloads of paid agitators coming into their cities and creating riots, and absolutely nothing is done against them. And then we've got, you know, a sovereign nation of Lakota Sioux in North Dakota who are being met with all manner of unnecessary force against them, and they are behaving in a peaceable fashion, and yet they're having North Dakota state law of engaging in riot thrown against them. So we definitely have a very unbalanced and unfair system of justice being played across this nation.
Yeah, all over the place. We say it all the time, Shiar, the corruption runs from your school board to the White House. It's everywhere. The tentacles of corruption have wrapped themselves around every facet of government, law enforcement, our sheriffs, constitutional guards for every county, who have basically the most authority of any single person, including the president when he's in their county. He can outlaw, the feds from coming into his county and doing anything and enforcing federal laws, the whole nine yards. But they're corrupted. Especially those who get appointed, like Sheriff Ward. He's not even an elected official, and he's out there. But I did see Sheriff Glenn Palmer did get reelected, so he's really going to be under pressure in Oregon, which is uber, uber liberal up there, man. I'm surprised he got reelected. I'm thankful.
He's in that area of Oregon that is still conservative. You got to look at those election maps like a lot of us have been and look at the state levels and see that in those states that turned – those western states that turned blue, it was predominantly because of those counties that are on the coast that are heavily citified, if you will, where the – that are very populated, that are liberal. And that's where you need to look when you see those things. And that's the important takeaway with a lot of that. Just like in Nevada. Nevada was the one that really shocked me. I mean, we've got Reno and we've got Vegas. And so I was truly shocked to see Nevada go blue. I did not realize that Reno had that much pull, but I guess it has gotten much larger than I truly, in the last few years or decades than I expected it to. I wasn't surprised about Vegas, but I was really surprised that, Reno and Vegas combined had that much pull in Nevada. But I wasn't surprised in the least with, Washington State and Oregon and California. Those didn't surprise me at all. Neither did Hawaii. But the rest of the Western states, if any of them had gone blue, I would have been seriously. We need to do some definite recounts here. But those being red, it definitely was because of the rural counties and states like Wyoming that were 60 some odd percent in favor of Mr. Trump. It definitely speaks something. And I believe that this election was less about Mr. Trump and more about Hillary, more about her history. She kept discussing her experience in the debate. She kept mentioning her experience. And I think because of a combination of her touting that and the WikiLeaks and the social media pushes by people like yourself and myself, Dennis Michael Lynch and other well-known media personnel that are not bought and paid for by the mainstream media, putting out the truth about her history. They were able to see, your history is speaking for yourself, madam, and we don't want that repeated for 4 years.
Yeah. And, what I don't understand, too, right now and for the longest time, and the approval ratings of Congress get worse and worse every year, but yet the folks continue to vote for the same people to go back into office. It's like totally the definition of insanity. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, and the results are the same. They've done nothing for nobody but themselves, their bank accounts, and their wallets, and we are all still suffering. You know, we're all, most of us make less than we're supposed to be making at our job. You know, and then they keep pushing for we got to raise the minimum wage to you know, $15 an hour. Folks, here is a quick economic lesson. Raise, and this is just basic. You know, I am no economic expert in any way, shape, or form. I have no idea about economics, nothing. I can't even keep a checkbook straight, for Christ's sakes. But my common sense tells me, you raise the national minimum wage to $15 an hour, the value, the $1 value menu all of a sudden becomes the $5 value menu.
Yeah.
And the $6 Big Mac meal becomes a $12 Big Mac meal. Just like any corporation who gets nailed with higher taxes does not pay higher taxes, folks, because the product that they sell has an increase in price to cover the increase in taxes. So, folks, the only ones that are going to be hurt by a $15 minimum wage are you and I. And that is just basic, simple, common sense view of looking at a whole picture.
We don't need to increase the minimum wage. We need to decrease the taxes that we are receiving. If people would understand that we have more hidden taxes hitting our wallets.
I believe it's 21, right? 21 hidden taxes.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to the federal income tax, which is wholly unconstitutional to begin with, we've got so many hidden taxes with our cell phones, our electric, our water, all of these hidden taxes, by the time it's all said and done.
Sales tax. Yeah.
Yes. But by the time it's all said and done, 75% of our wages go in taxes somewhere. And these taxes, these taxes are called fees, regulatory this, that, and the other. By the time it's all said and done, 75% of our wages go out in taxes in some way, shape, or form. And so we need to have these taxes and these fees removed and reduced. And we need to get big federal government shrunk back into its constitutional box and have the vast majority of these alphabet agencies deleted, removed, and gone, and all of those agencies' functions return to that of the state and local and community level, to where the money stays in the local and state control and level. And all of these things will suss themselves out. Joseph Story had it correct when he analyzed the role of the government when he was doing his analysis of the Constitution. Okay, he wrote a long treatise called Commentaries on the Constitution. And he was an associate justice on the Supreme Court. And he said that the function of federal government is war, peace, foreign commerce, and treaties. That's it. That is the four major functions of the federal government. And that's what our founders established when they wrote the Lee Resolution on June 7th, 1776, the precursor to our Declaration of Independence, for those of you who have been following us since Constitution 101. That was the purpose for establishing a federal government, so that 13 colonies didn't have to negotiate 13 treaties with other governments to assist in the Revolutionary War against Great Britain. They needed one body to do these things for them. They didn't need one body to tell them how to run their education, how to run their environmental protection, how to run their Federal Bureau of Investigation, and et cetera, and so on. So we don't need a Federal Bureau of Land Management. I think the state of Utah can manage its lands, and the state of Oregon can manage
indeed.
Its lands, et cetera, and so on. Because when you look at how badly the federal government manages anything that it gets its hands on, especially when you look at how badly it manages its tax revenues, I think it is pretty safe to say that it doesn't manage anything very well at all.
Yep.
And the sooner the American people figure that out, the better we'll be. And I am really disappointed that we didn't drain our own swamp.
Right on. We got to drain the swamp. It's going to be draining, hopefully, but who knows? We'll see. It is what it is. I think it's going to be just more of the same, you know, different different way of getting to the people, one way or the other, to zap their freedom, liberty, and American way of life. Right now at this time, I am going to get ready to wrap up this episode of the Trainwreck Radio Show. And, Shaw, why don't you tell folks how they can contact you and join your show on Friday nights, and then I'll cover some of the other shows and things that are going on, and we'll wrap this up.
Well, Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at Constitutional Truth right here on Patriot Nation Radio. You can also hit me up on Facebook at Constitutional Truth Shar Signs.
There you have it, folks. And don't forget, this Thursday, 7 o'clock, if James is up to it, I don't know, he's a little under the weather right now, folks. He needs some Mucinex expectorant, I suppose, to make it to the show. But he's Thursday night, 7 p.m. this week. And then I have, right after Conservatives Perspectives, Chuck Hinman from Mid-America Land Restoration. We're going to talk about Fukushima, nuclear waste, and more. There's been some developments and things and some things happening. He sent me some news today. We're going to talk about it this Thursday, 8 o'clock, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And, of course, I like to sometimes promote some of our friends' shows. You got Keeper's Mind Pool on Wednesdays and Truth Emerges. Let's see. What the heck is Brian Lang's show up there in Ohio?
Keeper's Mind.
Radio.
Oh, Brian Lang's? Goodness.
Yeah, Live Truth
Live
Radio,
Truth Radio
with Brian Lang and Freedom Works. With my good friend Tony, and of course Sylvester Bland, UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check him out. Good stuff there, folks. Shaw, Patrick, thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. Too bad with this protest thing and the school board meeting, all that. This just kind of fell apart here in the last minute. I hope it went well.
It's
at
all right.
The school board meeting. I'm going to be in the chat. I'm going to see how it went. And we'll go from
there.
I'm probably going to bail out of that chat now because it was for the show and for today's school board meeting. Well, maybe if something else develops, we'll make a new chat.
We'll have to wait and
see. Yeah, we'll see. Folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And I've been digging this tune. I'm going to head out with this song. This is Zach Williams, Chainbreaker. Really digging this tune. Here we go.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old line, if you're trying to feel the same old hold inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it,
by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, hail the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
That was amazing.